This is Liz.
And this is Sharon.
And you're listening to Unrefined She,
the well-being podcast for women like you who want to explore your health, claim your space, question norms, and live your best lives. Hosted weekly by entrepreneurs and women's health experts, Liz Winters and Sharon Bailey.
As always, please keep in mind that the information shared on this podcast is for general purposes only and should not be considered medical advice. And now, let's dive in. Hello, Unrefined listeners. Liz here. In today's episode, I have the absolute joy and pleasure of sitting down with Tracy Beeble. Now, if that name is ringing a bell for you, Tracy has actually been on the show before. She was our very first interview back way back when the show was called Beyond Birth. And so you can go back and listen to Tracy and hear her walk me through how to handle parenting an almost three-year-old in episode 12. And she gives a lot of great parenting advice in that episode. In today's episode, we really dive into how to handle disappointment through the holiday season and how to really process grief. I think this season is one where we are, processing a lot that's happening in the world. You know, the holidays are not what we expected it to be. And Tracy really finds a way for us to bring kind of that joy back in. And we dive into how to handle changing family dynamics, both as kids ourselves, but also as parents, and how to handle dynamics from quarantine between our partners, if you're in a partnered relationship. So there is a lot in this episode, and I really appreciate everyone who sent in questions. Y'all were really excited when we said Tracy was coming back on the show, so we tried to get to everyone's questions. For those who don't know Tracy, I'm just going to give you a brief intro before we get into the episode. Tracy is a licensed clinical social worker. She has a passion for helping people find the joy in the life they are living. She helps people connect with their children, partners, family members, friends, and themselves in new and more fulfilling ways as a therapist. She's both a biological and adoptive mom, so she knows firsthand the everyday challenges that families face and brings decades of professional experience as well as empathy she gains from her personal life to the work. So if you are feeling like too many balls in the air, the daily wrangling of the chaos of the family, and it leaves you feeling struggling, I highly, highly recommend connecting with Tracy. She really helps you find the tools and ideas that will work for you and your family in your unique situations, helps you put the fun back in your day-to-day life. So I think you'll really see that in our conversation today. But before we get into the heart of today's episode, let's hear from our sponsors over at Rockin' Roots Farms. Sponsor time!
Hey there, listeners. Sharon here. This week's episode is brought to you by our friends at Rockin' Roots Farm. If you have listened to any episode with me, you know how much I love CBD. I literally put it on everything. I am that CBD mom. I have also seen CBD help so many of my clients with pain, anxiety, period cramps, and even mild depression. Liz and I personally use CBD in our daily lives, and that is why we are honored and excited to have Rockin' Roots Farm sponsor Unrefined She. Rockin' Roots is a family-run farm and herbal medicine brand. John and Candace, the farmers and product makers at Rockin' Roots, pride themselves on using regenerative agriculture while growing beyond organic hemp and vegetables. They are deeply invested in supporting their community through education programs on the farm and pay-what-you-can vegetable stands during growing season, all while creating affordable CBD and herbal products. Looking for a sustainable gift this holiday season? Spread a little CBD love. Liz and I are giving CBD to clients, family, and friends this year because it really is the perfect gift for just about anyone, with price points to fit all budgets. We love Rockin' Roots, and we know you will too. Shop their CBD and herbal product lines at www.rockinrootsfarm.com. That's rock, the letter N, rootsfarm.com. And select Unrefined She from the drop-down menu as your affiliate at checkout.
Hello, Tracy. I'm so happy to have you here.
Oh, I'm so excited.
One, that's my big intro.
And talk to you. And two, thanks for having me on again. This is exciting.
I am so excited. We let people know that you were coming back on the show. And when you were on the first time, I'll have to look up what episode that was. But you, I think you were my very first interview on the podcast.
Lucky me.
So I think we've learned a thing or two since then. I'm not sure. We'll find out.
I don't know. We'll find out.
But I'm really, really pleased to have you back. And I know our listeners are going to be so excited to have you back and answer all of the questions. Because you're a licensed clinical social worker. You are a hilarious human being. You are just a genuine human being that I love and miss so much. And I'm just so pleased to have you here. So thanks for being here.
Thrilled to be here. Thank you for having me again. This is a real treat. So
yay.
All right, go. Let me answer stuff and talk about things.
Well, so we actually start off every episode with this little segment we like to call "What's Cooking in Your Kitchen?"
Oh.
And you are sitting in your beautiful kitchen, but you can answer this as like the kitchen of life or ooh, what's literally cooking in your kitchen.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I will say, one of the highlights of 2020.
You've already skipped this year.
Fast forwarding already. Anywho, the kitchen I'm sitting in, we bought a house a year ago and it needed a lot of work. And I'm now sitting in what feels like a magazine worthy kitchen.
It is beautiful.
It's amazing. It's beautiful. And let me tell you the best thing, everything in it works.
What?
Yeah. So the stove and oven both work. The refrigerator works. The dishwashers both work. That's right. I have two dishwashers.
What life are you living?
I know. The best one of this day.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I'll take it.
It's good enough. What I'm going to say is cooking is my excitement about having two dishwashers. This sounds like a luxury, and it is. And I'm speaking from a place of incredible privilege to be able to have two dishwashers, and I know that. And I adore it so much.
Live your truth.
I am just going to say that with six people in this house, having two dishwashers that both work is what's cooking in my kitchen. The countertops don't have dishes on them all the time. Everyone, when a child goes to put a dish in the sink, I say, hey, I'll bet there's a dishwasher available for that. And they say, okay. And they put it in there and no one else has to do it.
Oh my gosh.
That
oh my gosh
is a lovely, lovely thing that I am incredibly grateful for.
I think that that's brilliant.
Available. Yeah.
And so do you find that you prefer one dishwasher over the other?
They're the exact same dishwasher. But here's the thing I will say. One is on either side of the sink.
Okay.
And the one on the right side, I choose to load and unload first every time.
Interesting.
Because I'm right-handed.
Interesting. Well,
so
that's amazing.
I guess what's cooking in my life is I'm trying to find the small, simple things to be really grateful for and enjoy and take some enjoyment in, because what a year we've been living.
Yeah.
And so little things actually make a difference. And I try and remind myself each day that those little things make a difference and that life can be simple and enjoyable, and that two dishwashers is a pretty remarkable gift that I get to enjoy every day. That's what's cooking right now.
It's brilliant. So brilliant. And I like that you bring that up. And one thing that I feel like we've seen a lot of, and it's not just this year, but it's kind of this like toxic positivity. It's like, let's find the silver lining. But I also think there's some value to acknowledging like the small things, because we can get wrapped up in the negative shit.
Oh man.
Really, really easily, and just spiral down.
Yeah. You know, something I've been saying when people say, how are you? I say fine and terrible, because they're both true. It is like in my life, gratefully, I have a job I can still do. My partner has a job he can still do. We have a house that we can all live in, that everyone fits in. We've been able to do all these things. We get to come home to that every day. And so that's all fine. And then I'm terrible. Because
right.
I'm overwhelmed and I'm frustrated like everyone else. And my job is hard. Some days I'm a therapist and everyone's needing help. And I'm living the same life everyone else is and still trying to help people with it. And that's tough. And then I have four kids in my life that are all at different ages, 18, 15, 12, and 5. So they're
at
all different ages, and balancing this whole thing and online schooling with all of them and my own life and living in the same house with all these people that I mostly only see them. That's not easy.
No.
It's really not easy. And so I think fine and terrible is matches. And so I think we can say, oh, I'm really appreciating my dishwashers today. It's not rose-colored glasses. It's just being able to see what's in front of us and say, I'm just gonna notice that right now. It's kind of the whole, you know, Eckhart Tolle. I never remember how to say his name. Power of now idea.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, right now in this moment, what can I find that lets me get to the next moment? Sometimes that's my dishwashers.
I love that. And I love that it's your dishwashers. If you could think back to 2019, the thing you'd be most excited about in 2020, did you think it was going to be dishwashers?
Yes and no, because I'll say the dishwasher that was here previously didn't actually work.
Oh, okay. So yeah.
We had an outside kitchen from July until just before Thanksgiving, and we actually had a dishwasher there, but it didn't work either. So I was actually looking forward to this a lot.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And it, I believe it was better than expected.
I love this so much. I'm laughing because I feel like I can relate, and I hope to God that my timeline is faster than yours, but probably not. Let's be honest.
Things go slower than you think they will.
So slow. So slow. But we did not have you on the show, have you bring you on the show today to talk about kitchen remodels, though I could talk to you about this all day because I feel like I do need a lot of support through this emotionally.
You all do.
Yes.
The whole family does.
Right. God help me. My sweet, sweet children and dishes. I would love a dishwasher too because we are currently living out of bus tubs. So I did build a kitchen in the living room. And then we've slowly, or that's not the living room, the laundry room, which is in the basement.
Yeah.
And the rest of our life is upstairs. But now we're like starting to move upstairs. So we've moved the pseudo kitchen upstairs, but all the running water is still in the basement. There's no running water on the main floor yet. So this was actually really smart. Like we bought 3 bus tubs.
Yeah.
So we'll fill one with dirty dishes through the day and then, you know, bring one up with clean dishes. But it's still going up and down a flight of stairs to wash dishes. Like this is...
Well, getting those steps in.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no doubt about that here. No doubt about that. What we did bring you on the show to talk about today is as we're walking into kind of we're in the thick of the holiday season, honestly, is kind of how to process, you know, you've already given us some great tools, like starting to notice little things throughout the day that you could be grateful for to kind of flip the script around, but really how we can handle the holidays. The holidays are not necessarily the most joyful time for everybody. And especially this year, we're facing a lot of hardship. We're facing a lot of disconnection. You know, we're not able to do things the way that we probably imagined doing them or wanted to do them. And so I'm just bring you on to have this conversation, and you've got so much expertise in this area and working with kids and families. And
yeah, you know, I think, well, a few things. I think one, we have to validate our own feelings of grief and loss and not just shove them under the rug and say, well, we're just, you know, do our best, right? First, we get to say like, oh, this is not how I wanted this to go. And that's reasonable to feel that way. We first get to validate our own feelings and have empathy for ourselves around this isn't what we planned. Right? And that's really important. Like empathizing with ourselves, that's really important. The next one is on my best days, which are not every day, but on my best days, and my best moments, I'm able to look and say, one of the things that I've valued the most about this year is that it has made life simpler. It has made it smaller and simpler and closer to home and more focused on the people that I care about, although it's sometimes hard to remember that. But it is the simple things. And so if you can come back to what are those simple rituals that make it feel like the holidays to you that you value? What are those simple things that go back to that when you look at your children, they value, that you actually enjoy? And I've said this in every year that I've talked about the holidays, including this year, is that if something doesn't bring you joy, don't do it.
Yeah.
If you like making the Christmas cookies with your kids, make them. If you want to do that gingerbread house, do it. If you despise that and dread it, don't do it. Because what your children will remember is the joy you brought or the dread you brought to the activity you're doing with them.
That's a really good point.
What it is, their memory is about your emotional climate around the activity, not the activity.
I'm thinking about my emotional climate these days.
Like, right?
Praying that they don't remember this.
Oh my God. So, you know, if I found myself, we got a Christmas tree, and because we celebrate solstice and Christmas in our house. And so I really do enjoy doing the Christmas tree and putting the solstice things on the mantle. And I got all the things out, and the little kids were here and the big kids were here before they went to their dads. And I was like, okay, tonight's the night we're doing this, and everyone's going to do it, and we're going to have fun. This is going to be fun. We're going to put Christmas music on, and we're all going to do this.
Damn it.
The 18-year-old was asleep on the couch. I took him up four times. He was not interested. I handed him a box of ornaments, and he looked at me like, are you kidding me? And I was like, put these on the tree. And he was like, I'm really tired. And the 14/15-year-old was sitting there on her iPad. She's like, I'm doing homework. I was like, but that's not what we're doing now. We're putting things, stop it. Everyone, we're having fun. And I realized, I caught myself in the moment. I was like, okay, we're all in the same room. Mm-hmm. And that's it. That's all that's going to happen here. We're all in the same room. I'm going to pull the stuff out and be joyful and enjoy pulling out the ornaments and remembering from years past. And I am going to change my emotional climate and turn this moment around. And I was able to. I'm not always able to. I'm able to in that moment. And it changed the whole thing for me. So what I think makes a difference is when it's not going the way you want it to, and you can feel it inside, that like volcano of, this is awful. I hate every minute of it. And why is everyone so terrible? And why are they making this bad for me? That feeling, why aren't you letting me be the person I want to be? What's wrong with all of you? If you turn that story around and change the story in your own mind of, hold on, wait a minute, what's this supposed to be about? What do I want the feeling of this to be? And how do I do that here? And if I'm despising the activity we're doing, we all need to stop it because it's not fun. And so let's end it. So I would say that. I would say if you love making the Christmas cookies, if you love doing popcorn garland, I don't know, do it. If you don't do it. And go pick something you do enjoy. Have a dance party to Christmas music. If you're crafty, do a craft. But pull it way back and only do the things that you actually want to do with your kids and with your family, so that the memories you have coming out of this are of you enjoying the time together. That's it. That's the whole goal.
I love that so much. And I feel like you were just like the elf on the shelf watching our interaction at the house this last week. Because I definitely did that. I was like, tonight we are going to make cookies. We are going to decorate the Christmas tree. We're going to watch White Christmas, and it's going to be fun. Yeah. And it took us four nights of attempting to do that to actually make it happen, where not everybody was crying. It's like, this is ridiculous.
Right. So yeah. Those are those moments when you're like, okay, what's actually going to work here?
Right.
What's actually going to work is we're going to put on some Christmas music and everyone's going to eat a cookie and then we're going to be done. That's it. That's all that's going to happen tonight. And then if you really want to make those cookies because you want them to look or feel a certain way, then do it after they go to bed.
Oh, there you go.
Christmas, right? You can gather that time and space for yourself. So that's my big thing. Simplify, do the things that feel good, and leave the rest. This is a time to seriously declutter our Christmas traditions.
Yes, I love that. Oh, that's an episode title right there, Tracy. Good work. Yeah. Well, declutter the Christmas traditions.
I love a soundbite.
I found this on the web.
Ooh. Siri. Ooh. Siri heard something about that.
Siri, you're also going to start getting ads for Christmas traditions now. It's fine.
Perfect.
Love it. So the other thing that we're noticing, I mean, you and I kind of talked about this briefly before we hit record, mm-hmm. is that we're all around each other all the time.
Oh, yeah.
All the time. All the time.
Yeah.
So what I've noticed is that I love my family,
uh-huh.
but I would like them to go away, please.
Yes. Oh, and yes.
How? How do we handle this relationship dynamic? Because I think it's something that, like, I am very lucky. I am in a very supportive marriage. And I like my kids. I like my partner. And I know that is not necessarily the case for everybody.
Yeah.
But how do you continue to nurture those relationships when you don't have the opportunity to miss each other?
That is such a good point. And I think that is universal for most people these days, right? I think one of the ways is find space where you can actually take it. Like, be like, I need to go, you know, for those of us that are still going to the grocery store and getting groceries, go alone. Mm-hmm. Don't take anyone. Take turns doing that. Go for a walk by yourself. Go close a door and be in a room alone. You know, take this space. Plan it out. It sounds so silly, but going and just being alone in your own room for a couple hours, it goes a long way. Going on a walk by yourself when there's no necessarily a time limit when you have to be back, like work that out with your partner if you can. For those people who don't have partners and they have to be home with kids full time, well then when the kids go to bed, you know, and actually if they're little, have them go to bed a half hour earlier and grab some more time. They don't know what time it is. They have no idea. Put them to bed earlier, especially if you're home and you can do dinner at 5, put those people to bed at 6:30 and have some time in your evening where you're alone. Do that with a partner. Put your kids to bed earlier and then go do something alone.
I thought you meant put your partner to bed earlier. It's like, well, go to bed.
That's an option. That's an option. I'm not judging. If that works in your house, whatever. But, you know, find that space. No matter how small your house is, go be outside, go for a walk, go do something. The other one is that children need time alone in their room. I'm going to say that again. Children need time alone in their room.
So you're not a bad parent.
Oh, you're a good parent.
Thank you.
You're requiring time alone in their room. Even when they say, I don't know what to do. I don't want to. I want you to be in here with me. I can't do this. I don't know what to do. There's nothing in here. Right? There's plenty. There is plenty to do in your own head. Boredom is the beginning of creativity. It's wonderful and important time. So during the day, if you have little people, they can have multiple, you know, an hour in the morning, an hour in the afternoon alone in their room. On the weekends, you could do that 3 times a day, in the morning, day, and in the evening, right? It is not your job to play with them all the time. It is not your job to entertain them. It is not your job to be their peer. They are not broken, or you're not breaking them or abandoning them by requiring that they have time in their room. Take space.
I love this so much.
And you can find it in your house. You can, brilliant. But we often feel guilty. Mm-hmm. We feel like we're not supposed to do that. We're supposed to engage with them. We're not. They are supposed to get bored and not know what to do and roam around their room and lay on the floor and look at the book and not really read it and get everything out and not know what to do with it. Like, that's supposed to happen.
You gave us that advice, I think, when my husband and I met with you shortly after Arlo was born, and we were trying to figure out this new sibling dynamic. And that was incredibly helpful, but that particular piece of advice was so liberating. Mm-hmm. It was just one of those things like, oh, I don't have to be on for my kids all the time because I can't. I already can't do that. And so now I guess I don't have to feel guilty about it because.
Oh, and in fact, you're giving them a gift of learning how to be alone and learning how to work things through in their own head. And then the other one is, don't talk to each other all day long.
Like, try not to.
Have space from your partner. Mm-hmm. Because otherwise, you have nothing to talk to them about later.
This is true.
Like, don't just engage all day long. It's okay to have silence. It's okay to take space. It's okay to not talk to each other for a while. Like, just make an agreement. Like, I don't want to talk to you until lunchtime. You'd be like, okay, that works for me, right? Whatever that looks like. Or, hey, this evening, I really don't want to talk to anyone else, including you, for like a few hours. I'm going to read a book, watch a show by myself. I'm going to read an article. I'm going to do something. Then I'll talk to you again tomorrow, right? Take space, because otherwise you don't get any space from them and you don't have anything to talk about.
And then it's just somebody else. It's just becomes a roommate situation.
Yes.
It and you're like, does. He didn't do the damn dishes.
Right.
Because it always goes back to dishes, even with two dishwashers.
Oh, even with two dishwashers. I'll tell you, that's true. Like, why is this cup in the sink? I know who put it in there. It was the other adult that lives in this house. Why is this in here? Why would he do that? The dishwasher is empty, right? Like, all those things, we do those things.
Totally. Totally.
And so trying to remember that. And again, so much of this is about the story we tell ourselves in our heads about how good or terrible or wonderful our children, our partner, this situation is. I'm not talking rose-colored glasses or a perfect fantasy story, but it's often not as bad or as good as we play it out to be in our head. So I think that when we have a more realistic story in our head, like, he did not leave that in the sink to be a bad person.
Right.
He really didn't.
No. You know what's really going to piss Tracy off today?
Leave this in the sink. Like, that's not, right? Oh my God, I am going to drip coffee on the counter and leave it there. That's going to make her happy.
Yep.
I can't wait to do that and have her find that. Wait, that's not what happened.
No.
Like, that's not at all what happened. But we can play that in our head. We can totally play that in our head. So when we catch ourselves doing that, we have to catch it and turn it around and give ourselves and our partner and our children grace. And when we feel ourselves elevating and getting that volcano inside, we have to check our own emotional climate. We have to take care of ourselves. We have to drink a glass of water. We have to go for a walk. And we have to check ourselves, because they're just struggling too.
Yeah. Oh, I love that so much. I want to go back to that kind of the narrative that you're telling yourself. And I imagine that people are struggling with the decision about whether or not to travel for Christmas and disappointing family and disappointing kids. And, you know, some narratives I'm hearing is like, it's fine if you don't want to come visit. I get that it's not a priority.
Uh-huh.
Like, can you you hear the guilt just like laying it on real thick?
Real thick.
And so I think both as a daughter and as a parent, like, it's, I feel guilt from both sides, because, you know, I'm disappointing my kid. And this is when our listener had this question too, but I'm thinking about it myself. You know, my daughter's bummed she can't go visit her grandparents.
Right.
And my parents are bummed that we aren't coming home for Christmas. Right. And so it's, how do you handle those relationship dynamics?
Oh, man. You know, some are easier than others, because some people can hear you better than others. And other people just can't. And I think what you get to remember is you're only in charge of your own situation. And, you know, you can't, your mom is going to be your mom, and she is going to do the things she does because that's what she does. And, you know, when our, you know, she's unlikely to change, right? And so when they say things like that, and some are more difficult than others, right? And so I think that one, like you said, oh, you know, I guess it's not a priority. And you get to, leading with empathy is so big. You get to be like, oh, mom, it feels like that, doesn't it? It feels like that. What a year. I'm disappointed too. And I can hear the disappointment in your voice. And I can understand that we're coming at this from different places. Like, you believe something different about what you're hearing than I do. And so you would make a different decision than I'm making. And that's so hard on both sides. And thank you for loving us so much and for loving my kids so much that you want so badly for us to come.
Mm.
Let's figure out what we can do. You know, the kids made a card for you. Let's do a meeting, or we're going to mail it, or like, we can do different stuff. And she's like, yeah, that's fine. That's fine. I mean, I was just really hoping, it's been a long time since we've seen them. I mean, it's fine that we're all fine. It's fine. Right? Like, that undercurrent of that, you know, Melanie Beattie, she wrote Codependence No More. She's one of my favorite authors for some of this stuff. And my favorite soundbite of hers is, you cannot simultaneously hold healthy boundaries for yourself and take care of someone else's feelings.
Oh, I love that.
So, and then I add, but don't be a jerk about it.
You're right, but don't be an ass.
Right? So, but that's where you get to say, this is hard, mom. Like, we're all trying to make the best decisions we can. And I know that me making this decision hurts you. And I get that. And that's just where we're going to be with this.
Yeah.
And fingers crossed in the next few months, this changes. Maybe we can, you know, whatever, we'll see, right? But there, your decision doesn't have to be okay with them, but you can empathize with the fact that they don't like it. Now, some parents can hear that and move on, and some can't. Some just keep laying it on. And that's where you get to go back to your mantra of, you know, I cannot simultaneously hold healthy boundaries for myself and take care of my mother's feelings.
Just crying, reading that into a pillow or something.
And kind of rocking. But I think that's really what it comes back to. So the story you get to tell yourself is not that you're a bad person or a bad daughter, or there's something wrong with what you're doing there and holding that boundary. It's just that they don't like it. It's kind of like when you tell your kid they can't have the third cookie and they're really mad about it. You're like, I know you really want the third cookie, but I'm going to make that decision and you don't have to like it, right? People don't have to like the decisions we make. Sometimes our boundaries make people really uncomfortable. And it's not our job to fix that. It's just our job to empathize with it and hold true what's true for us. And then know that what's true for us isn't necessarily true for them.
Well, that's such a good point. So how would you approach this, like on the flip side? So like now, this was our big listener question was, yeah, how do you handle disappointment with your kids? Because like you said, like it's, of course they want the third cookie, but even for bigger things, like the third cookie, that might be a meltdown that night. But for me, I'm not sure what this listener was speaking to specifically, but I can, like the main disappointment right now with Edie is like not being able to see friends, right? Yes. And like not going to school and like, yes, these big things. And it's like, how do you handle that in a way that's empathetic, right?
Yeah, I think we empathize, but we also normalize, mm-hmm, right? So I'm a big fan of, I can empathize with that feeling and I can understand that feeling. And things are okay, right? Especially for little kids. If we make it okay, it is okay. If we make it normal, it is normal. If we make them a victim, they are a victim of it. Mm-hmm. Right? So we get to say, I know. If I had a magic wand, I would wave it and you could have a friend over. Wouldn't that be great? What would you want to do with your friend if they came? Oh my gosh, that sounds like so much fun. You'd run around and you'd put the dresses on, or you'd play with the whatevers, or you'd play family, or you'd do whatever, right? Mm-hmm. Wouldn't that be fun? Whew, man, one day we're going to be able to do that again. Mm-hmm. It's okay to be sad that you can't today. So you can take some time to be sad if you need to. And then it's also okay to be sad about it and play and have fun, right? We can have that feeling and do something else. So I think one of the things we're teaching, one of the biggest things we teach as parents is how to tolerate disappointment and not get lost in it,
yeah, right?
So, and I think that one of the things that we as parents are doing a lot is trying to make up for the fact that this year is so weird. Instead of just accepting and allowing this year to be weird. Like, yeah, they're not going to school. Yeah, they're not doing all these things, but also they get to hang out with us and they don't have to get up at a certain time every day and be somewhere. And I don't know, there's all these things that are happening and I'm not trying to silver lining it, but at the same time, I think that a lot of parents are trying to make up for this year for their kids instead of just allowing their kids to experience this year.
Right.
Just like the rest of us. We don't have to fix it for them.
Because, well, we can't, right? I mean, no,
we can't. And so if we're willing to not have them go to bed on time or tell them how awful and terrible and sad it is that they can't have friends over, they're like, oh, it is awful.
It is awful.
And poor me, right? It's like, well, it is. It is hard. Mm-hmm. But it's also doable.
Yeah.
You know? And so learning to tolerate the discomfort of that is actually really important. So we don't have to fix it, but we can empathize with it. And there's a line there of having pity for them and having empathy for them.
Mm.
Empathy, yes. Pity, no.
Sure.
Just checking in on that. And then also being careful that we're not putting our own disappointment and grief and sadness on them. Right? Because we've got plenty of our own. And then we look at them and we're like, oh my God, this is so terrible for them. And it's so big and awful for them. Really, that's ours.
Yeah, totally.
Especially for the little guys. I'll tell you, I've got two teenagers and it's pretty hard on them. It's pretty hard on the teenagers and the bigger kids. And at the same time, then you get to have conversations with them about the same thing of like, yeah, it is hard. And also, how are you going to handle it? This is right. Resilience. This is, you know, when you're running the marathon and you don't want to go anymore. This is when you're lifting that weight and you don't want to do it anymore. This is when you're, you know, I have a Peloton bike and I did not want to do it anymore. And where you keep going, right? This is where practicing physical discomfort in the form of exercise or different things helps us learn how to tolerate emotional discomfort and life discomfort.
Ooh, I love that. I never considered linking all those things together, but that's a really good point. That's, wow. It's oh, you're just giving me so much food for thought. Sharon and I were talking last week about like Christmas traditions and how the holidays can be kind of a, well, they can be a bummer for a lot of reasons. Yeah. Happy holidays, let me bring you down. But where I think we get stuck in that kind of the biggest like failures is when we're trying to recreate the magic that we felt as kids.
Yes.
And that was kind of something that I'd realized. I was like, man, Christmas just hasn't felt like Christmas these last few years. And that's because I kept just trying to recreate the Christmas that I had as a kid, but I'm not a kid anymore. And so we've been trying to reframe and find new traditions for our family, like things for us to look forward to. So it's not necessarily the Christmas that my parents made for me as a kid, but one that we're creating at home. And it, to what you were saying, it feels like this lifts a lot of the pressure off that we are not responsible to fix this year, and that it's okay to acknowledge that this year is kind of weird. And there's also a lot of cool shit happening. Like I mean, I have a 7-month-old.
Yeah.
And I've had so much time with him. My partner has been able to be home the entire time for his entire life, which never in a million years we thought would have happened.
Right.
Like he was going to take 2 weeks maybe.
Right.
And now he's had 7 months at home, and like there is just magical times and seeing like the connection between the kiddos. Like there's a lot of good that's happened that we wouldn't have gotten in a normal year.
There is. And I think that, again, not to silver lining or rose colored glasses, any of it, but when we switch our narrative, when we switch the story we tell ourselves from, oh, these poor kids, what a terrible year, to, wow, what a weird year they're experiencing. Well, this is different. They will
say
different things than I planned for them. You know, what can we take away from this? And I think too, you know, for a lot of parents who are really, really driven to do certain things, right? We then will just like laser point our, we're going to make this happy, you know.
Damn it,
at it. And, you know, what I tell a lot of parents and have for years, I've said, you know, if you could just care about 20% less, it would be easier and more enjoyable.
Mm.
Just really dial back the caring by about 20%.
Give fewer fucks.
Give way fewer fucks, at least 20%. You know, I'll say as a parent to an almost 18, 15-year-old and now step-parenting this 12 and 5-year-old, I realized the things I did as a first-time parent coming through with the little ones that that I thought were so important. Mm-hmm. Like all these little things that I was like, oh, I will never use a plastic cup, or there will never be this thing, or, you know, these toys will always look a certain way, or I don't know, all the little things that we think are super important. I don't really care now. And everyone's fine.
Right.
Right. And everyone's learning. And that doesn't mean that if those things aren't important to you, that you shouldn't do them. But it means if those things are taking a lot of your energy and you are frustrated and consumed by them to the point that they're leaking out energy that could go somewhere else to be more enjoyable, let it go. It's not that important.
Take a cue from Elsa.
But I think some of those things, and I think those are some of the lessons we can take out of this year, is what's really important. There are many fewer things than we thought were. And I think when we take the pressure off of that, it makes the holidays more enjoyable. It makes parenting more enjoyable. It makes our relationships and partnerships more enjoyable. And, you know, that's a practice. I don't think it's a place we get to and live. You know, for me, it continues to be a practice. And I'm teaching people this stuff, right? Life is messy, and I'm just as messy as everyone else. And so it's just a reminder to keep practicing those things and come back to it. I know for me, when my head feels like it's going to explode, if I come back to, is this really important? How important is this thing that I'm freaking out about right now? Am I going to care about it in a day, in 2 days, in 3 days? Like in 5 years, is this going to matter? Probably not. So take a breath, hug the kid, and move on.
Yes. Oh, I love that so much.
I think that, you know, and if you get one cookie decorated, that's awesome.
That's a miracle in this house. Oh.
Well, I'll tell you, it hasn't happened in this house yet.
For so many reasons. One of our other listener questions was about how to nurture social relationships with four kids right now. Because, like, I think this is also something that you and I were chatting about right after Arlo was born. Like, you know, Edie doesn't have any peers around her, and she did for the summer. We were in a pod with another kid, and that was amazing. But we no longer have that since we moved. And I know a lot of parents are in a similar boat. So how do you kind of nurture that social dynamic, or do you? I mean,
I think the reality is that for some people, they have some people to do that with, and for some people they don't. And so you just don't.
Gotcha.
I don't think you can. Yeah. Like, for little kids, it's really hard. And so I think you just don't. And then they're going to make it. This is not going to last forever. And is it ideal for kids? No, this is not ideal for any of us. And the repercussions of this with anxiety and depression and you know, social skills for kids who are supposed to be in preschool and kindergarten and elementary school and all the way up, it is far from ideal. Also, is it going to break them and ruin them? No, it's not. You are engaging with them. They are engaging. We're all doing our best, and we're going to get to the other side, and then we're going to pick up, and it's going to be okay. So I think that you do the best you can, and then you leave the rest. So if you have people that you can do that with, great, do it in the time and energy and space you have. If you don't, then you don't. I know the five-year-old in our house, I think in the last, 8-9 months, she actually goes to kindergarten.
Okay.
With masks on at her preschool with 9 other kids. And it is the best thing ever for our family.
But I believe it.
Additional, any other social interaction. We went to the park one time and walked around with another friend that had a mask on, right? That's it. That's all there's been. And for lots of kids, they're not even going to kindergarten at all. You know, Edie's home, mm-hmm. right? She's going to be fine.
Yeah.
She's going to make it. This will not last forever, and kids will go back. So the answer is sometimes you can't, and that's okay.
Awesome. I just feel like, I hope everyone that's listening is just like, oh, doing what I'm doing, which is just kind of giving like a sigh of relief. Like, oh, it's okay. We're not screwing up our kids.
We're going to be all right. We're going to figure this out.
Yeah.
You know, we go through hard times in history and we come out on the other side. And are there consequences? Absolutely. But we're pretty adaptable. And, you know, I've been telling the families that I work with, if at the end of this, what you get out of it is some positive memories and your kids at the other side of this are like, remember that year when we were all home and that was really kind of weird and fun, but they remember mostly that like you got along and you still liked each other at the end. And you played a game here and there, and you watched a few movies, and you maybe made cookies. Great.
Maybe.
But, you know, if at the end of it, what you walk out of is like, we still mostly like each other, then you're winning.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so wonderful.
We're going to come out on the other side.
We will. I just hope the other side is sooner than later.
Ooh, don't we all? Yeah.
Don't we all? We had one more question, and it's I'm going to pivot us away from, I think, away from kids. So maybe we can link it back to that. But this year has been a really big year of social awakening, as Rachel yep. Rogers said recently, white people have just figured out that this country is racist. You know, everything happening with COVID, there's a lot of misinformation. And so there's a lot of really interesting things being brought to light about how people look at science and right. race and all you name the topic, it's out there. And we got a couple questions about this, actually. It's like, how do you handle, like, we used to go to the holidays and you'd be like, oh, that's Grandpa Bill and he's just racist right. and it's fine.
Right.
And like, that is, you know, and you can do with that with what it is. But I think what people are starting to realize is that, you know, people that we've held in these in high regard, you know, your mentors, maybe your parents, maybe it's a family member. I know there's a couple different scenarios for these questions, but what do you do when you discover that your values are just so misaligned with somebody that you have trusted and respected?
Well, it hurts.
It sucks.
It hurts and it's really hard. Here's the thing though, that was true about them before. That hasn't changed. There's still those parts of them that you love and value and appreciate, and those are still there. And if we think that we are going to change all of that and it's all going to be different now, that's just not true. And what we also know is that people's views change in the context of relationships, not by being shoved in a corner or yelled at or told that they're just plain wrong. And that change, especially big change like this, happens incrementally. It doesn't happen fast. And that the people that believe those things are swimming in water that we don't understand, but it's their water. And they've been swimming in it for a long time. And I think, you know, especially when it's your parents or it's a person really close to you, you may not want to cut that relationship off. It may have great value. It's just that now it has some spots that are darker and more uncomfortable. But that doesn't mean that they're awful people, or because they're the same people that they were before. Now you just know some of these things, right? And so it's not a black and white answer, huh? Pun not intended.
Oh, I see what you did there.
I know, I'm just a play on words. There's not an easy answer to this, but what I will say is that they still love you and you still love them. And they are still have all those wonderful things about them that they had before. Those are still in there. You just now realize that you have grown in a different direction than they did, and that you see things differently than they did. And so maybe you have some different conversations. Maybe you value them for the other parts that they have to offer in your life, while you still judge them harshly for those new things that you've seen. Right, you do. And you know, Uncle Jim or Aunt Sally that says the racist thing at the holidays, maybe now you find a way to say something about how that makes you uncomfortable. But you're probably not going to change their mind by just being super mad at them.
Right. You're not going to cancel Aunt Sally.
We're not going to cancel Aunt Sally. And should we? And does that actually help? Right. Although, you know, if you have truly toxic family members, then you have to think about how you want to change that relationship. But if it's these people that you really value in lots of other ways, they still have that to offer. And so it's finding ways to navigate that and make sense of that and allow people to be wildly imperfect and still love them.
Oh, I love that so much. Like, I've said that after every time you talk, like, and I love this and I'll take one of those, six of those.
Yeah, it's not easy, but it doesn't mean that you can never see them again or that they're bad for your children or, you know, I mean, there's lots of things. I know my own children's grandparents, wow, like whoa, you know? And so we talk about, like, well, that's grandpa, right? So we don't believe the same things he believes, and here's why. And also, he's funny and he means well, and, you know, he'll probably send you some money for Christmas and you'll tell him thank you, and you'll have a conversation with him about trains because that's what he likes to talk about. And you'll let the other part go because we're not going to change grandpa's mind.
Right.
And we're going to let that be okay. We're going to let that be okay. And, but as parents, you can talk to your children about how you don't agree with that.
So you're still doing the work. You're still
doing work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it becomes more about calling people in a relationship context than canceling.
Yeah. And if you think you can have a conversation with your dad or your mom or your whoever, it's like, hey, I want to share with you how uncomfortable that makes me and why. Mm-hmm. And make it more about you and your feelings and why that feels uncomfortable to you, as opposed to telling them how wrong they are and how terrible they are and how they should change their views and they just can't do that anymore. Right? But you can say, hey, when you, you know, pat the server on the butt when she walks by, that makes me really uncomfortable. I'm not okay with that. And if you continue doing that, I won't be able to come to a restaurant with you when we do that again one day. Right? But those kinds of things, you can say that. That goes back to, you can hold your own boundaries and you don't have to take care of their feelings, but you don't have to be a jerk about it.
Yeah. Oh, such a good point. Such a good point. Who was I watching today? Do you follow Blair Amani?
No.
Oh, she's wonderful. And she's a historian, but she does these little segments called Smarter in Seconds. And she was talking about personal boundaries and how one of the main points I took away from it was that people don't have to understand your boundaries to respect them. And you don't have to understand other people's boundaries to respect them.
Yes. Yes.
So that's wonderful.
Yeah. And I think, you know, at the dinner table or when, you know, grandma or grandpa says something, you know, about, well, I mean, I don't know about those scientists and COVID, like, what do they know? And you're like, well, what I believe is that actually the scientists I've been following, I really respect and value. And I'm taking that information to inform the decisions I'm making. Mm. Right. And then they're like, well, it's just a hoax and it's just made up by those liberals. Right. You get to say, ooh, that must be a hard way to think about that. To feel like
you're a much nicer person than I am.
Okay, this is at my best on a podcast.
Okay, fair point.
But these are the things we can practice, right? These are the things we can practice saying because they go better, right? Yeah. What the like social science research tells us is that this is the better way to change things and to have people see something different. If we attack them, they'll defend their position much stronger than if we just say, huh, like leading with curiosity and sharing our own point of view with warmth and kindness and not aggression lands way better and sparks maybe curiosity in them or not. But it's the better, it's the more, I'm all about efficiency and effectiveness, and it's the more efficient and effective way to do it. So if you're gonna, you know, get mad about it, then you got to check that and be like, that makes me angry. That bothers me. And you get to say to them, oh man, when you say that, it really sparks something in me that feels mad. Like I feel mad when you say that because I so strongly believe in that. Mm. And you not believing in it makes me so uncomfortable.
Yes. So brilliant. You have mentioned a few times about practicing empathy and how important that is, and leading with empathy and leading with curiosity. Do you have, if empathy doesn't come to you naturally, ways to more easily, practice that?
First, breathe and pause before you respond to something so that you're responding, not reacting.
Yeah.
And then if nothing else, you can say, huh.
That's it. Mm-hmm. Love it. Like,
huh. And then if it's really something, you can be like, I'm having trouble knowing what to say next. Right? If you just can't get there, you just, because the thing is, if we just argue with it, it's not gonna get there. The other thing, kids and actually grownups too, the other thing we can do is just observe what just happened. So what I'm hearing you say is that you really don't trust the scientists. And then we're like, yeah, why should I? You get to say, wow, that's hard to imagine, right? Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be super, you don't have to have a ton of words here. Wow, that's hard to imagine. Yeah.
I'm thinking this could just be a really great party trick for you. I could put you with the most like ridiculous situation and just, I just want to watch it in real life.
Like, well, I'll tell you, I have a lot of practice with my mother. Lots of it. And the more you're able to do this, like I will say that sometimes I actually really enjoy finding the most caustic person in a room and engaging in conversation.
I could totally see you doing this.
And doing exactly this, being like, wow. So share more about that. That is, wow, what a viewpoint. Huh. So how'd you end up there? Like, what are your sources of information? That is fascinating. That is so different from how I think. That is, tell me more. I am just super curious about that. It's curious. Fascinating what happens.
Right? Oh, I believe it. I believe it. You could do a whole reality TV show of just this.
Uh-huh. You could.
This could be your next gig.
Well, if someone will pay me a lot of money to do it, I'm all for it.
I know a guy. It'll be fine.
Great. Hook me up.
Okay. Got it. Treasy, this has been so helpful and impactful, and I am just so appreciative of your time and energy, and I love just having these conversations with you, and like every time we chat, I just get to learn more, and I miss seeing you, so this is just a treat for me too.
Well, back at you, and thank you for that. That is a high compliment coming from you, because I learn things from you and value you and appreciate the information you put out in the world so much. So thank you for letting me be a part of that.
Yeah. Will you let our listeners know how they can connect with you? And you talk more about your practice. We haven't even touched on that. I want to hear more about what you do.
You can find me at tracybeibel.com. So that's Tracy with an E-Y and Biebel.com. And I work with families and I work with couples. I work with individuals. I do a lot of pre and post divorce work. With families, I do a lot of high conflict divorce work for families really struggling. I do a lot of helping people recover from relationships with people with personality disorders or high conflict relationships. And just, you know, across the board, just try and help people live more joyful lives within the life they're living, right? I just 100% believe that you don't have to change that many things in your world to have it be a more satisfying life. And that really comes from the inside out and just how you see things, the story you tell about things, and how you learn how to set boundaries for yourself and others, and how you learn to keep your promises to yourself. And those things alone change things for you. And they just lead you on a path. And I sound so corny, but I am genuinely just flat out honored by every client who allows me to be a part of their journey on that, because it's such a vulnerable spot. And when people let you help them with that, it's, you know, it's why I love what I do.
And you're so good at it. You are a very, very talented practitioner, and just, you are, do a wonderful job of making people feel safe and heard. And it's, I recommend you 10 out of 10 every time.
Well, thank you. It's like I said, I really enjoy what I do and enjoy just trying to help people's lives be better.
Okay. And so you see people virtually now, I assume?
Oh, yes. I'm all on telehealth right now. So anyone all over Oregon can see me. I know, right? And I'm licensed only in Oregon.
Okay.
However, I do, do some coaching outside of Oregon. So if people want to get in touch with me and talk about how they can do that, that's a possibility.
Cool. We've got a pretty strong listener base in Oregon, but also in Colorado now. So yeah.
Oh, fantastic.
Look at that. We're branching. And New Zealand, according to our Spotify end of year report.
Well, look at that. Hey, New Zealand.
Hey, New Zealand, what up? If you're one of our listeners in New Zealand, you should leave us a voice memo.
Awesome.
So tracybeibel.com, and are you on the social medias at all?
Not really.
That's fine.
I used to be. I mean, you can find me on Facebook at Practical Parenting or Practical Living, but I am really not doing much on there anymore. I've really pulled way back off the social medias.
You aren't missing much.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, no, you're upset to think about it. I was like, are you missing anything? No, no. Instagram has new things to make you feel confused about what's happening. They keep changing the layout, so just to ignore it. Awesome. Well, friend, thank you so much for being here again. I really appreciate you.
Thank you. Thanks so much. It was good to chat. All right. Bye, everybody.
Bye. Okay, friends, that is it for this week's episode. If you love what you're hearing, please, please, please subscribe, rate, leave a review in Apple Podcasts. That is one of the best ways you can support our podcast for free. It takes 2 minutes of your time at the most, and it just makes all the difference in us reaching new fabulous listeners and expanding this wonderful community we've created here. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And we'll see you next week.